Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The toll-free number is 1-800-677-9377. We encourage your calls right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do want to hear from our listeners today on the broadcast. Join us if you have a question, problem, situation that you want to discuss. Maybe it's a Bible passage that you want clarification on. We're here to help you, so call right now, 1-800-677-9377. On yesterday's broadcast, I read a passage that was very meaningful to me in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, starting in verse 13. I'm going to read it again today and thought we would discuss one of the issues as it relates to freedom. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. That's what salvation is. When this gospel message hits a human heart, faith comes to life, and you come to life. That person is made alive together with Christ. Just as he was raised from the dead bodily, you'll be raised from the dead spiritually. That's salvation. Then he says he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. So there was something that stood opposed to us. It was the written code. We know that as the Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments weren't for us. They were against us. And the reason they were against us is that we could not live up to them. So they spoke words of condemnation, judgment, and death into our lives. And we responded with fear. Oh no, punishment is coming. God is going to get me sooner or later. But in Jesus, all that condemnation, all of that judgment, all of that punishment went upon him. And so he took it that away, nailing it to the cross, freeing us to experience this new life in Christ. If you're struggling in your Christian life, I can guarantee you it's probably because you are still trying to live up to that written code that is against you and that stands opposed to you. It's given by God. It has a good purpose, but you're using it for the wrong purpose. Yeah. You're trying to gain righteousness. You're trying to gain a good standing with God through obedience to those laws. And every time you do, you just get buried deeper and deeper into the ground.
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball with a badminton racket.
It just can't be done.
It
can't be done. So since Jesus took it away, don't go and grab it back off the cross and let it judge you again. It judged you. Jesus took the punishment, all of it. So leave it right there and go free in this new covenant and experience new life in Christ.
Absolutely. Of course, this is Basic Gospel, and we want to talk about it with you. Plenty of open lines right now. 1-800-677-9377. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you're here, too. By the way, if you're commuting at this time and can't get to the phone to pose a question or be part of the discussion, we encourage you to drop us an email with your question, and we'll be glad to talk it through on the air so that you can hear it on your commute. And you can find the email link when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. But right now, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call. Guys, a question from Michael, who listens on WMCA, by the way, and lives in Neptune, New Jersey. Says, the continuing presence of God through His Spirit, once we've received Him, is not volitional on our part, but by covenant. Seeking Him, however, requires an act of the will. Since the Scripture tells us that no one seeks God, but rather that He seeks us out, it would seem to me that no one could seek God except a born-again believer. Is this a foolish notion, he asks? I know that there are times when I don't readily accept what the Lord is doing in my life, and at such times I wouldn't say that I'm seeking the Lord, though I know He is ever present with me. If fellowship with God is broken at any given time, it isn't His doing, but mine, as a result of an unbelieving or unwilling attitude. Am I way off here, or does the Lord tell us to seek Him, knowing that no one actually will?
Interesting question. If you're a believer, God has already found you, and God has made his presence known in your life by his Spirit. That's what makes us new. We were made alive. God sends his Spirit to live inside of us. We can never break fellowship. Why? Because Jesus is always there with us. That's on his shoulders, not ours. He has called us into the fellowship, and if it was his calling, he's going to keep us there. We can count on that to be true. Now, there's this process. We're growing in grace. We're growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's a process that takes place in these minds of ours. It starts there. That's why Paul said to don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our minds don't fully grasp what's happened to us in Christ. That takes the continual teaching ministry of the Spirit of God and the Word of God into our lives. And that's what he is constantly doing. So if our thinking is off base, if our thinking is in error, the Holy Spirit is going to correct that. The Holy Spirit is going to bring our minds and our hearts in alignment with what truth has to say. That's just his job. We can count on that. Now, as far as seeking the Lord, we have all of these questions that we ask as unbelievers. You know, why am I here? Who am I? Where am I going? All of those important questions are rooted in the hearts of every person. We all want to know those things. We wake up in the middle of the night asking those questions. We go out and stare out into the sky and see, you know, the stars, and we wonder, what's my place? You know, what's my role? Where do I fit into this big cosmos that surrounds me? We want to know those things. Those are spiritual questions and can only be answered spiritually. And the gospel of Jesus Christ answers those. And it does so by offering Christ himself. He identifies us. He marks us. He gives us purpose. He gives us significance. Jesus Christ is God's answer to all of those various questions. And now that we know him, we desire to grow more in him, to learn more about Jesus. That's what eternal life is, to know God and to know Jesus Christ. So as believers, that's what God places in our hearts, a desire to truly know him. It wasn't in there before, but once we come to know him by faith, we have that desire.
Yes. Yeah, I think one of the misunderstandings is there's a very famous verse in the Old Testament that says, seek the Lord while he is near, call on the Lord while he may be found. Or I may have that just reversed. But that was an old covenant command. It was very appropriate under the Mosaic covenant. Under the new covenant, one of the great beauties of the new covenant is now God is so done with sin in Christ and so in favor of life in Christ, he's now seeking us, and we get to respond to him rather than looking around and saying, where did he go?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Moses, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Moses.
How's it going? God bless you guys. I love the fact that the gospel is being preached. You know, I love the fact that, you know, there's people, there are listeners out there. It's just one thing that I disagree with you, brother. I disagree with, look, I don't believe that words can save me at all. I don't believe, I know that if I'm saved, it's by the grace of God. But I do believe that words play a huge part in our walk with God and our closeness to God. You know, the word says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. He's a reward of those that diligently seek him. I think most people they accuse anybody that follows the law as a legalist. I don't follow the law in that sense. But I believe that words play a huge part of God. When God rebuked the church at Ephesus, and he said, return them to your first works, or I will take away your candlestick. I think people use it as a crutch to continue.
Well, Moses, let me just jump in there. There's a lot of people who do anything and everything to justify their sinful lifestyles. There are just people like that. The Bible talks about those people, identifies those people. Says that they were never saved. They're just using things, godly things, to hide behind and continue to do their sinful stuff. So they were never saved to begin with. So the Bible does talk about those folks. Now, as far as believers, we have this phrase, you know, we're called Basic Gospel. Our tagline is hear it, believe it, live it. So God wants us to hear this good news, that he loves us, that he has new life for us, that our sins have been forgiven. He wants us to hear that. He wants us to hear the story of Christ. And then he wants our hearts to respond to that by faith. And as we do, we're made alive. Now that we're made alive, he wants us to live out that gospel message in everyday life. It's not just a matter of hearing and believing. There's this other part of living it out, living the truth of God's love. So if I've been forgiven in Christ and somebody has wronged me, living the gospel out is to extend forgiveness to that person who has wronged me. If I choose not to, I'm not living out what God is working in me, because God, through his Spirit, is certainly working forgiveness in my heart. If I see someone in need and I choose just to, you know, go on my merry way and just give them a word, you know, be well, my friend, you know, I'm not living out the gospel, because God put something inside of me to reach out. If I get involved in a conversation, engaged in a conversation with somebody, and it's apparent that this person has never come to Christ by faith, the Spirit of God inside of me compels me to speak the gospel message. That's an act of love. That's living out what God has worked in, sharing of your resources. All of those things are byproducts of this new life that we have in Christ, and they're all stem from this transformation, this character development that God works in each and every one of us. I mean, he gives us hearts that truly want to trust him. He gives us hearts that really want to express the love of God to others. He gives us an anchor for our souls called hope. That's all a transformation that God works in each and every one of us, in producing character and virtue and things that mark us out as people of the living God. So Moses, this gospel message isn't just, you know, a set of facts that we believe, check that out, and we go along our merry way. It's a total change of life. We let go of that old way of life and we grab hold of a new way of life that is expressed in love to others. So, Moses, I don't know that we disagree.
I don't necessarily disagree. I agree with. It's just the fact that I feel like works are diminished. I agree with, like, 99.9% everything that you say. It's just that I think works are important. I think we should.
Well, in the source of those works is God himself. I mean, Jesus doesn't come to live inside of us and once he's there, decide to take a nap. He's very active in us. Believers resting in the grace of God and leaning into the grace of God, from my observation, are the most busy people on the planet. But it's not a busyness that brings spiritual burnout. It's a busyness that brings exhilaration and joy and genuine satisfaction. It's flourishing human beings.
Now, one of the things that helped change my life was Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That makes this exciting. I get to discover the things that God has prepared for me to do and then do them joyfully. Is it work? Absolutely it's work. But there's never any sense in which I'm trying to improve my relationship with God or get back into his good graces or ever any of that. It's always this aha moment every day of this is what God is doing through me. Wow, how could that be?
Yes, indeed.
Quick question, if I may.
Go ahead.
You believe that the more you seek God, the closer he'll get to you. I believe that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, but the more you seek him in prayer, the more you seek him in fasting, you believe we would draw closer unto you? And what's that? I'll just listen to the answer and I'll
Well, Moses, good question. I think we grow in grace and we grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. We get closer in the sense that our minds, what we think, are more in line with what he thinks. Our desires are more in line with his desires. Our choices become consistent with the choices of what he would do. So we see that happen as we grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of Christ. We can describe that as drawing closer to God, but it's really a process of transformation happens through the renewal of the mind.
He can't really get any closer to us.
Yeah, that's right.
He's already there.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Martin listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Hello?
Hello, Martin.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm the blind guy from Brooklyn. I didn't want to ask a question regarding stress. How can we reduce the stress? You know? People are talking about vitamin B complex, and what does the Bible have to say about that?
Well, the Bible it says various things about trials and tribulations. And normally it's the trials and tribulations and how we react to those that produce stress in life. Sometimes situations are overwhelming. We try to take the solving of those situations on our shoulders. That becomes a very stressful situation. And I think in all things we have to go back to what Jesus had to say, that in this world we will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. So to reduce stress, we have to realize that the burden isn't on our shoulders. We can trust and entrust the situation to Jesus Christ himself. And knowing that he is God, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he has promised to work all things together for good, puts peace in our hearts, and that in essence reduces the stress. So it all goes back to this life of faith in Jesus Christ. If we set our hearts and minds on him, keep our eyes on him, then regardless of the circumstances that we go through, we can walk through those with a sense of peace and contentment in our hearts.
Amen. Thanks, brother.
You're welcome, Martin. Great question. A lot of people going through stress today.
Yeah. Let me piggyback onto that. He brought up the whole nutritional thing. What I've discovered in my life, and unfortunately I didn't discover this until relatively recently, is that if I would listen to the Spirit and walk by faith, I eat better. When I eat better, I feel better. You know, when you're not full of poison and too much sugar and you're getting enough rest, it's amazing how much easier life is to get through, even when you face the hard stuff. But again, it's the result of walking by faith, not the result of walking by fear.
Yes, yes indeed. Well, Martin, great question today. Thanks for your call.
And plenty of open lines. Time remaining on the clock. 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you and the remaining time. 1-800-677-9377. Bob?
Read an interesting article just a couple of days ago. It appeared in the Las Vegas Guardian Express, and the headline was "Religion to Disappear by 2041," claims new study. Apparently, there's a biopsychologist by the name of Nigel Barber who has completed a new study and has written a book, "Why Atheism Will Replace Religion," and he projects by the year 2041, religion will disappear from planet Earth, and atheism will stand in its place. I thought that was a very, very interesting article. He's done various studies. And certainly, for example, here in the United States, atheism is on the rise. Mm-hmm. I think 20% of all Americans claim no religious affiliation. That doesn't necessarily mean they're atheistic. It could mean that simply that they're agnostic. They just don't give much credence to God or think that he has any importance in life whatsoever. That's on the rise. But will religion disappear from planet Earth? And the answer is no, Why? Because there's this thing called sin, and sin has caused a separation between man and God. That separation has been bridged by Jesus Christ himself through his death on the cross. He has an offer of life out there on the table to anyone who will receive. But sin is always going to cause people to think in religious terms. What do I need to do to appease an angry God? That's what religion and sin, as those two relate, will cause us to ask. And we will come up with all sorts of things to try to answer that particular question. And then, as we mentioned before, earlier in the broadcast, we all ask those important questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Those are religious questions that need a religious answer or a spiritual answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ answers those three questions. So as long as mankind exists, as long as man is still subject to the law of sin and death, those things are always going to surface. People have tried to oppress religious thinking. We see that through history. Hitler tried to suppress the religious element in Nazi Germany, but he did not succeed. And no one will ever succeed, because we will all want to know what is truth. And that quest for truth will eventually lead us right back to Jesus Christ and the grace that he has. Well, let's go to Lisa in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lisa.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I heard you talking about nutrition and taking care of yourself. Just a different aspect of that, or along the same lines, actually. If as a Christian, we could always try to keep in mind that it says in Scripture that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that fact in itself should always motivate us to take care of ourselves physically and mentally, just because of that fact that we are housing the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lisa. And certainly, this body isn't our own. That's the whole point that Paul was making in that particular section. And we see it time and time again, that we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And now we're to make our bodies available to him. And I think when we do, we see just a positive experience resulting from that. We literally flourish as human beings as we offer ourselves to Jesus Christ to be used by him for the glory of God. So, excellent point, exactly. Lisa. We appreciate that.
We do worship God if we take care of ourselves and our body. It is a way of worshiping God also.
Well, recognizes truth, just what you said. It's a recognition of truth, and that really is what worship is at its core. It's a recognition of truth. It's giving praise to God the Father for what he's accomplished for us in the work of Jesus Christ. Well, Lisa, thanks for your great call, great point today. We appreciate that.
And, friends, we're just about out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us. I want to remind you, friends, that it's only God, through working through you, our listeners and supporters, that Basic Gospel is on the air here every day. And we hope to say thank you to everybody who gives to make this program possible. For a gift of any amount for the rest of this month, we'll send you our CD Bible study series, Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide to help you go free from traditional religious beliefs and show you the way to stop slogging through life in religious bondage year after year, year after tiring year, as a matter of fact. To complete your gift and request yours, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, the toll-free number, 1-800-727-2828. At Basic Gospel, we like social media. We use it, and if you do too, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can do that at Basic Gospel RDO. Again, at Basic Gospel RDO. Well, that's our time for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, we hope you'll have a great weekend in and because of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.